and studied Joshua in the past, what are some things that we are going to learn about God in this book? What are some things that stick out to you about God? Good. Excuse me. So this book is about God fulfilling that promise that he made almost 500 years ago to Abraham, that I will give you this land to your descendants. You know, it's a fulfillment of that promise. What else do we learn about God?
He's with his people.
Good. So God is with his people. It said in Deuteronomy, you are a special group. What God is there that has delivered you, who has been with you, has performed all the miracles in Egypt? So they're a special people. They're God's people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 11, now it's primarily speaking about the Israelites who passed through the Red Sea and all died in the wilderness. In verse 11 it says, now these things happened as an example, and they were written for our instruction, to Mr. Hooten's point, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So these things are written for our example, they're for our instruction. Galatians chapter 3, in verses 23 and 24, speaking about the whole law in general, say the whole law is a great benefit to us because it leads us to Christ. So one of the things that we should be asking and studying as we go through this book, what are some things that we learn not just about God, but what are some things that we learn about Christ? It leads us to Christ. We're all familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God or God-breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. When it says all Scripture, what does that include? Sure, I mean, it includes everything, right? It includes all of Scripture. And primarily to Timothy, he would be referring mostly to the Old Testament, right? That's the Scripture that he would be referring to. So all Scripture is helpful to us for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. So this book of Joshua, or any book that we study in the Old Testament, is for our benefit, for our instruction, and can equip us so that we can be ready for every good work. Joshua is certainly going to do that for us. Yes, sir.
Now, I'm just wondering, Joshua's state of mind following the mountain of the man.
Absolutely.
That must have been a terrifying job.
Yes, daunting. Absolutely. And we're going to get into that. I think maybe that's one of the reasons why we see that phrase, be strong and courageous, so many times in this first chapter. And we saw it back in Deuteronomy, right? So it's God, Moses, and Israel all told Joshua, be strong and courageous.
Say there's something different in the lesson from Deuteronomy to this book, and that is when they were in the wilderness, they really didn't have to do much. They just went where God told them. He supplied everything. But now we're switching over to a book that is going to require them to become a fighting force and do exactly what God tells them. And when they do that, and I think the lesson that we get is when you do things God's way, the way he instructs you, you're going to flourish.
Yes.
When you don't do it his way, things aren't going to work.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Well, to that point, I was going to say there are warnings in Joshua, for instance, the conquering of Ai and the making of stolen things.
Yep.
They didn't check with God about the giving.
Yeah.
And then all the lands left unconquered. God's saying, careful.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Very, very practical book. So me and Michael are both real excited about teaching this and studying it with you and getting your input and you helping us learn the book better. So that's our mindset going forward. It shows God is more powerful than any army or nation, including giants and fortified cities. The book of Judges, in contrast to Joshua, shows disobedience is met with disaster, where Joshua is kind of the pinnacle, if you will, of Israel actually doing good. And so God blesses them in Judges 2, verses 6 and 7, when Joshua dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. Not many times in Scripture does it say the children of Israel actually served the Lord and obeyed Him. So this is a unique book in that regard, a very encouraging book. So just to catch us up history-wise, Genesis chapter 15, and in verses 1 through 16, really outline and give us the history of God's plan from Abraham to this point. In verse 7 of chapter 15, God promises Abraham, I'm going to give your descendants this land. However, they are going to go to a nation that is not going to be theirs, and they are going to be there for a period of 400 years. And after that 400 years, I'm going to bring them back when it says, in the fourth generation, when the iniquity of the Amorite is complete. So when we see the victory of God's people and how He's able to conquer and save, we're also seeing judgment upon the nations that did not do right. So God is using His people to punish the wickedness in the land. So I think that's a really key point to consider as we go through this book. Make sure you're obeying God, because if you don't, you're going to be like the Amorites who have committed all these iniquities. Joseph, of course, gets his family to Egypt. They stay, they multiply. God brings them out of Egypt to Mount Sinai, and God says, go conquer the land. And they said, we'll send 12 guys to spy out the land. 10 were bad, 2 were good, right? Joshua and Caleb says, we can do it. The other 10 said, there's giants there. They're fortified cities. We're grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we can conquer the land. So God says, because you were in the land spying it out 40 days, you'll be in the wilderness for 40 years. And so God, in the New Testament, says He put up with them. In the wilderness, but a great way to say it, put up with them in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they go on the east side of the Jordan, and they conquer Sihon and Og, and they conquer that kind of east Gilead territory, in which 2.5 tribes say, we'll settle here. Do you remember which tribes go on the east side of the Jordan?
Tribe of Manasseh and Gad.
And Reuben, good. So Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh kind of splits up between the east and west side of the Jordan. So they said, we're gonna stay here. And you remember, this is going to come into play in Joshua, is why I'm going through all this. Do you remember what Moses told those 2.5 tribes that said, we'll stay here? There's a little bit of a problem. Yes, you can't just stay here and wish your brothers good luck as they fight the land. Your families can stay here, right? Your kids, your wives, they can stay here, but you have to go fight with your brothers. So now they are just about ready to cross over the land. I'm going to give you a really brief outline of Joshua, and Michael may have a different outline of Joshua, which will improve upon this one. But chapters 1 through 5, well, instead of me giving you the outline, we'll look at the outline, because it's basically verses 1 through 4 of chapter 1 give us the outline, give us a outline of the book. So let's read verses 1 through 9, and this is basically God's charge to Joshua, as he is now the leader of the Israelites after Moses. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right, so looking at verse 1, this book starts out with the death of Moses. It is somewhat common for the books of history, kind of starting here in Joshua through, what would that be, Nehemiah, the books of history, 12 books of history, to kind of start with the death of someone. So Joshua, of course, starts with the death of Moses. Judges starts with the death of who? Joshua. 2 Samuel starts with the death of, give a guess, Saul, King Saul. And then 2 Kings, kind of a bad character, starts with the death of Ahab. So maybe that's a reason to rejoice. Yay, Ahab's dead. But it's pretty common for that to be the case, and it starts out with that. Moses, as to Mr. Hooten's point, how long has Moses been their leader? 40 years. 40 years from, at least 40 years, right? Maybe even a little bit before that as he was leading them and doing the plagues in Egypt. But at least the 40 years in the wilderness. So that's all they've known. And especially this generation, right? That's the only leader they've ever had because their parents died in the wilderness. And so he says, Moses is dead. Now it's your turn, and you need to go. What title does God give Moses? Servant. Moses, the servant of the Lord. This is a title that is only given to three people in the Old Testament. The servant of the Lord, that phrase. Moses, Joshua, and David. Pretty good company, right? To be a servant of the Lord. Moses, that I think that phrase appears 18 times. 14 of them are talking about Moses, the servant of the Lord, and 13 out of those 14 are all in the book of Joshua. So he keeps referring to Moses as the servant of the Lord. The only other one, if you've got my curiosity, right? Well, what's that 14th? That was in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5. Moses, the servant of the Lord. But that is a great title, right? And that's our job, to be a servant of the Lord. It's not maybe a glorious yay, but it should be. It should be that all I am is God's servant. What did that mean for Moses, that he was a servant of God? Did that mean he get a pretty nice life, pretty easy life? Anything but, right? And so as a servant of the Lord, we are just willing to do whatever God has us to do. Servant of the Lord, and if you go back to the end of chapter 34, what prophet is like Moses? If you look at verses 10 through 12, what prophet could we compare to Moses? Somewhat of a trick question, right? There is no prophet. There's no one like Moses. Who performed all these miracles, who did all these things. So, as Brother Hooten said, all right, Joshua, you're coming after Moses. He's dead. You've been mourning for him for 30 days. Now it's time to go. Now it's time for you to lead this group. Yes, sir?
Just a quick application for us. Yep. That would be church leaders could die at any time, and who's going to be the Joshua that steps up? And I think about like when the last apostle died, how the church was built to still continue after that, to thrive, even though they don't have anybody that actually spoke to Jesus anymore, the church still succeeds, and that's kind of an incredible thing to think about.
Good point. And is still here today. Yeah. Right, absolutely. 2 Timothy 2:2, three twos there. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So always, as a leader, make sure you are equipping those to come after you to do the work. And that's all of our jobs. Good point. All right, so look at verse 2. Try to get going a little bit, and I knew this would be really good. But looking at verse 2, the latter part of verse 2, Joshua, now it's your time to lead these people. What are some things that we know about Joshua from the first five books, or I guess Exodus through Deuteronomy? What do we learn about Joshua? Good. So all the way back to Exodus 20, maybe 19, he was Moses' helper. He was the one that went up on Mount Sinai when Moses received the law. So he's been with Moses for 40 years. And, you know, Moses probably helping him and equipping him. So he's seen firsthand the leadership of Moses. What else do we know about Joshua? Yes, absolutely. So when the spies were in the land, Joshua said with Caleb, we can take the land because we have the Lord on our side. So he shows great faith in the Lord. And Joshua is about to, so he's the oldest man, right? At this point. We learn later on in Joshua, Caleb is 85. We don't know how old Joshua is, but maybe around that same age. But everyone else, the oldest one of them would have been 60, right? Because anyone 20 and older dies in 40 years, so that's how I'm getting 60. So these are one of the oldest two people there. The fact that several times it says, be strong and courageous. See it in verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, and then we'll end the chapter in verse 18. Only be strong and courageous. Why do you think it's repeated so much? Why is that emphasized to Joshua? Okay, absolutely.
Strong and courageous.
faith, the loose sight, the focus, all these positive adjectives we can give. So, and you see that God is going to give you success. As he always has.
Good.
Also, most are just God.
Yes.
I'm sure they're discouraged.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Moses' death, and now they're going into the land that they failed to enter 40 years ago because they were so scared of the giants and the fortified cities and all those things. It's going to take courage to take on those armies. And remember in Deuteronomy what it said about those armies compared to Israelites' army? Those armies are what? They're stronger. they're more powerful than you are. But if you match them up, you're going to lose. But Joshua, you go in and defeat them. So you be strong and courageous. Yes, sir.
Support of Moses, being inside the tent, being around Moses when Moses is dealing with the problems of the people, would have to scare me more than those people out there. How am I going to lead this willful people if Moses couldn't get them to do everything that he's supposed to do? How am I going to do that? And how that translates to us. One of the things that scares me about being a leader in the church is you see elders that persevere through very difficult times. And a lot of the things that they deal with, we never know.
Right.
But Joshua was there. He saw it all. And I think that when you think about the leadership of the church today, I think we're not thankful enough for the leaders that we have that persevere like Moses.
Good. And notice Joshua is the one that's receiving, at least three times in the book of Deuteronomy, Joshua is told, be strong and courageous. By Moses, by God, by the people. And one of the most beneficial things for leaders is for them to receive encouragement. Right? Because everyone's going to be looking to Joshua. So if Joshua is scared, they're going to be scared. Right? But if Joshua says, we can handle this, we got the Lord on our side, well, they're going to feed off of his energy, his faith. And so it's imperative for Joshua to have this attitude. So notice verse 3 and 4. God is going to give the land to his people. Notice verse 2, 3, and 6, at the end of verse 6, it's kind of pointed out, I am going to give this to you. This is a blessing. This is a present. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. But I'm going to give this land to you just because, you know, I promised Abraham that I would do that. You see the boundaries kind of there listed in verse 3. Notice it says, wherever you walk, you will get. So what if they don't walk very far? Well, basically, you should walk as long as you can, right? Because wherever you walk, God is going to give. Remember that passage in Deuteronomy 7 where it says the Lord is not just going to kill all of the nations immediately, but he's going to do it little by little. You remember the reason why that God wasn't just going to clear everything? Yes. Absolutely. So it says, for the wild beast would grow too numerous for you to handle that. So you're going to have to keep your faith in me for the long haul. It's not just going to be a one-time thing, get rid of them and now we're good. How long is your faith going to last?
And the land would suffer.
Yes.
People are tending vineyards and when the nation comes in, they can eat of what's already there.
Right.
Which is, it wouldn't be that way if everybody was killing. Somebody wasn't tending the fields and planting and all that kind
of stuff. Look at verses 2 through 4, and this is how I'm going to get my outline for most of the book. Verse 2, you are ready to cross the Jordan, okay? That is basically chapters 1 through 5 of this book, is kind of them crossing the Jordan. And then in verse 3, what do you have? How would you describe that verse? Yes, so this is kind of the conquering verse, right? Wherever you go, I'm going to give it to you. So chapters 6 through 12 of Joshua is them conquering the nations. It's our very boy happy, conquer, fight, win the battle, right? And so then verse 4 is the boundaries. Well, that's chapters 13 to 22, is basically the division of the land. So just do that real quickly again. Crossing the Jordan is 1 through 5, conquering the nation 6 through 12, dividing the land 13 to 22. Does that make sense? And then we still have two chapters left, 23 and 24. That's basically Joshua's farewell address. Remember that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he gives them, this is why you should be serving the Lord, but it's your choice. What are you going to do? And so that's his kind of the last two chapters of the book. Verses 5 through 9 there is really God's inspirational speech to Joshua as the new leader. You be strong and courageous. You go and conquer. Lead the people to conquer the land. What promises do you see God giving Joshua in verse 5?
More riches to your fellows. I'm going to be with you.
Good. So he says, you will not fail because I'm going to be with you. Okay, what other promise do you see?
Never going to leave you.
Okay. I'm not going to leave you, just as I have been with Moses. I will be with you. That's comforting, right? Because he saw firsthand how much God was with Moses. And what's the first thing you see in that verse?
No one will be able to resist you.
No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Those are pretty great promises, right? How would you have liked for God to say, those promises are for you? Pretty, like, we would raise our hand. You know the exciting news? Probably know where I'm going. Those promises are for us. Because this passage is quoted in Hebrews chapter 13, and in verses 5 through 6. Right in that first section there in Hebrews 13, this is what you need to do. And remember what God said, and he quotes this verse, saying he will not fail you or forsake you. So just as this promise is to Joshua, it's to us as well. Very comforting, right? And then he ends that section by saying, so what can man do to you, right? If you have God on your side, no need to worry. So therefore, we need to be strong and courageous. I think we need that statement given to us. It's given to Joshua four times in this chapter. We need it just as much due to our mission for the Lord.
Yeah. How can you not want to like run through a brick wall?
Right.
Reading that, no man shall be able to stand before you. That's just a great morning verse, I think.
Absolutely.
You're going to have a tough day ahead of you, like, wait a second. God has promised this to me, so I have to have faith in it today, and today's going to turn out okay.
Do you think
him singing Moses at his advanced age with good eyesight, able to climb mountains, do whatever. I think that there's a little bit more of a promise there than, you know, we're not really promised that at age 85 we're going to be able to stand.
To stand on Mount Pisgah and see the whole thing.
Defeat these
people
that are coming. Right. The two people, you know, when they ask Caleb where he wants to fight, he says, give me the big city with the giants.
Yeah, give me the mountain. That's right.
I can't see me at 85 actually attacking giants, but they were ranked.
Yeah, they were. We need to be, what are some ways that you would say we need to be strong and courageous? Give me some scenarios where God is telling us, be strong and courageous. What are some things that come to your mind? When do we need that the most?
Temptations we're going to face every day.
Absolutely.
God is going to be with us. He's not going to leave us, even when it gets hard.
Good. So the temptations that have conquered us in the past, and man, we have really struggled. The Hebrew writer says the sin that so easily entangles you. We need to be strong and courageous. God is with us. We can conquer them with His help. Yes, sir.
I have an aunt in Indiana that lost her son last week. He was 57. But the year before, she lost another son. And the year before, she lost another son. And found out today her daughter has cancer, 1 year to live. So I called her. I thought, I've been praying. What do I say to her? And she said, Chad, it's God's will. She said, that's all we can do is trust in God. That was an inspiration.
Sure, sure.
That's a good leader.
Yes, yes. What about approaching others about their sin? Is that hard to do? When we need to say, you know what? Your life, you're not following God. And as a brother or sister, I love you too much to let you keep doing this. What about talking to people about the gospel? That's scary. Right? That can be scary. It's like, man, I don't know if I have all the answers. I don't know if I know just exactly what to say. And they may bring up stuff that I have no clue about. Well, be strong and courageous. And the last one I had is telling people what they need to hear instead of what they want to hear. There's many times in our life where we need this command, God telling us, be strong and courageous. I'm with you. Yes, sir.
Things we're facing in the world today.
Yes.
But we've got to realize that God's in control.
Good point. Yes. Good. All right. So I need to get going here, kind of put it in second gear. Since I only have 10 minutes left. But verses 7 through 8, what is the ingredient to winning and gaining the land? What's the secret sauce, if you will? Okay. Good, good. Stay focused, and if you obey me, you will have success. Notice there's nothing about military tactics, and this is how to use the sword, and this might be helpful in battle. It's obey God. And as long as you do that, if you are careful to obey, how many times we see that in Deuteronomy, is if you're careful and you put me first, you're going to win. So two things there. What they are to do with the law. Be careful to do it, and it shall not depart from your mouth. What's going to give you success is if you just keep talking about it. If you keep helping one another understand God's law and do it, if it never departs from your mouth, then what other thing do you see in those verses that will help them be careful to do the law?
You mentioned it some, but they were concerned. The 10 spies were really right.
They were. That's right.
There's no way they could have done it. God.
Correct.
That was their mentality. They thought they were going to have to do it themselves.
Yes.
And so that was their problem.
Great point.
They were looking at it as
from a totally physical standpoint. Absolutely. Notice it says, you shall meditate on it for how long? Day and night. Every day. Right? And so as long as you meditate on it and you're talking about it all the time, you're careful to do it, you're gonna be fine. you're going to have success. And that's what he says there, verse 8. And then he repeats verse 9, be strong and courageous, because I will be with you. So after that speech, right, as Michael said, all right, let's run through a wall. Let's do whatever we can. Because if God is for me, who can be against me? But again, going back to Hebrews 13, this chapter is just as much for us as it was for Joshua and the obstacles that Satan throws our way. 10 to 15 of this chapter is Joshua's charge to Israel. Since you've already read it, I won't take the time to read it again because I'm already running behind. But look at verses 10 and 11, and this is Joshua's command to the officers of the people. Notice it says in verse 11, you need to prepare provisions for yourselves. What do you think that's talking about? Prepare provisions for yourself.
Gonna go on a march.
Okay, yeah, they're gonna march. Maybe this is also talking about food. What has been their way of survival for 40 years? Manna. So in Joshua, it's going to say, I believe in chapter 5, there's no more manna after this day. And so once they cross over into the land, milk, honey, right? And fruit and actually food. We're not the look and smell and taste this manna anymore. So this is new for them. So prepare provisions for yourselves. So for within 3 days, you are to cross this Jordan. All right, Joshua, 3 days. You're leading them across the Jordan that God is giving you to possess it. Would that have been scary, you think, for Joshua? It would be for me. If I'm crossing the Jordan, one question, how in the world are we going to cross the Jordan? God's going to take care of that. But then on the other side of the Jordan, there's people there that would rather us not live there, right? And so they're going to be fighting against us. And so those things, but God says, go, I'm going to be with you. Joshua does it. And then verses 12 to 15, basically, this is a command to the 2.5 tribes. And what do you see Joshua telling them? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're not off the hook just because Moses and God said you can have this land to the east of the Jordan that we already conquered. Your wives and your little ones can stay, but you have to go. Would that have been difficult? Sure, right? Leaving your wives, leaving your children, leaving your homes there and fighting with your brothers. And how long did they have to fight? Till it's accomplished, until the mission is done, then you can return back home. So he says, now remember, remember what you promised to do, and you have to stay true to that promise, even though there's probably a lot of you that's saying, I'd rather just stay home. No, we all helped you get this land. Now you have to return the favor. Notice verse 16 to 18, and I don't know if this is the 2.5 tribes' response to Joshua. I would like to think this is all of Israel responding to Joshua as the new leader. They answered Joshua saying, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command them or command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. All right, so we have the people basically telling Joshua, we're behind you, right? We accept you as the leader. You remember, go ahead.
Because they didn't do
one of those. I'm just trying.
Over and over. And I'm thinking, so you're going to stand there and say, well, just got to be merciful. That's not coming.
I know. That's my thought as well. Joshua's saying, oh, no. You're going to be that bad? You know, I think they meant it in a good way. That just as we followed Moses, we're going to follow you. They meant it positive. If you look at the history, oh, Joshua's saying, oh, please do better than that. So that is humorous. I agree. You see them saying to Joshua, you're our leader. Do you remember Moses ever having trouble with that? Even his brother and his sister, remember Korah rebelling against him? So this is maybe a little bit better. And they're saying, okay, we're not going to fight. We're not going to say, I prefer this guy over here. I think he should be our leader. He could do a better job. He's saying, no, we're with you. You're our leader. Whatever you say, we'll do. But are they obeying Joshua blindly? Look at verse 17, kind of the latter part of that. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. I take that to mean as long as you are obeying God, we're with you. As long as the Lord is with you as he was with Moses, we'll follow you. But if you ever leave the Lord, if you don't do what he says, then we're bailing on you. And that needs to be our attitude. Don't follow man or a godly person just because, man, look at his life, look at how good he is. Don't blindly follow anyone, but say, I'll follow you as long as you're doing what God says. So I think that's a really good response that they had there in verse 17. And then he says, all right, we got your back. If anyone disobeys you, your command, which is really God's command, then what are they going to do? They're going to put him to death. I think they finally learned some lessons in the wilderness, and there's a lot of good. Was that second bell already ring? Sorry. Okay, so really good. Maybe we can bring that up next time. But all the lessons they learned in the wilderness are benefiting here. All right. Sorry, I didn't know that was the second bell. Thank you.